Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're not going to focus on all of that stuff. We're going to focus on this. Are they going to stop fighting or not? And what it's going to take to stop the fighting. And what it's going to take to stop the fighting, if we're being honest and serious here, is both sides are going to have to give, and both sides should expect to get something from this. And that's a very difficult thing to do. It's very difficult because Ukraine obviously feels, you know, harmed, and rightfully so, because they were invaded. And the Russian side, because they feel like they've got momentum in the battlefield and frankly don't care. Don't seem to care very much about how many Russian soldiers die in this endeavor. They just churn through it.
Yeah, the big news, of course, over the weekend, President Trump meets with Vladimir Putin, and now today he is meeting with Vladimir Zelensky and several other leaders he's one of them, or she's one of them, but also across Europe. They're going to come to the White House, and they're going to talk about what happened over the weekend with Putin and what the path forward for Ukraine is. And yeah, what I like about Marco Rubio, and I've always liked about Marco Rubio, in fact, having him as Secretary of State, I don't think I've had a chance to say this very often, is this was like the perfect place for him in an administration. He was always a foreign policy guy. He has, in fact, in some ways, almost too much a foreign policy guy. He was my pick for, which time around? I don't remember, but I've always liked Rubio's foreign policy knowledge, and I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, he's very good. He's more America-centric, not U.S.-centric, but, you know, North and South America-centric, but certainly gets international affairs, and, you know, he's the right serious person for this job. And him talking about, look, both sides are going to have to make concessions, and we want the fighting to stop, and yet this is also not... It's not really our war. It's a war of aggression, which we care about. It's not. They're not a NATO member state. Ukraine is not, and now will never be, apparently, according to what Trump posted on social media over the weekend. But, you know, President Trump has been doing his best to be involved in this and try to bring a resolution to what's been a horrible, terrible, bloody conflict. And, you know, we don't want would-be hegemons like Vladimir Putin invading their neighbor for the third time and having nobody do anything about it. Because you remember Georgia, and remember... You know, Crimea, and then you remember Ukraine, which was all under other administrations, not under Trump's administration.
So I think what the president deserves a lot of credit for is the amount of time and energy that his administration is placing on reaching a peace agreement for a war that's not a war that started under him. It's half, you know, it's on the other side of the world. That said, I mean, it's relevant to us, but there are a lot of other issues he could be focused on. So tomorrow we'll be meeting with President Zelensky. We'll be meeting with European leaders. We just met with Putin. He's dedicated a lot of time and energy because he has made it a priority of his administration to stop or end war, stop wars or prevent them. And right now, this is the biggest war going on in the world. It's the biggest war in Europe since World War II. We're going to continue to do everything we can to reach an agreement that ends the dying and the killing and the suffering that's going on right now.
Now, what I also think is kind of interesting about that comment, did you catch the beginning? This is on Face the Nation yesterday with Margaret Brennan, CBS. Did you catch in the beginning where he made the comment about, you know, it's halfway around the world from us? Every war is halfway. I mean, there's, you know, unless there's some brewing conflict in Guatemala that I'm not aware of. But what he's doing there, what Rubio is doing there, is being Trump's spokesperson. Because that's Trump's view, is this faraway war that deals with these other people over there and, you know, kind of distancing ourselves from it. Of course, you know, the United States has a longstanding interest in what happens in every part of the globe, particularly areas that are going to affect us, and Europe is certainly our allies and partners for a long time, you know, the Middle East, the Far East. I mean, we're interested in every part of the world because, you know, little things become big things sometimes pretty quickly, but also just the idea of having an international order where borders are stable and people aren't getting killed. You know, we care about lives, we care about economies, we don't want countries to be invading one another, which, of course, Vladimir Putin has done now three times. And, you know, trying to resolve that and make it not happen a fourth time.
So I think what the
President Trump was telling European leaders, what was discussed was Putin demanding control of Donetsk, a region in the east that his forces do not fully hold. And the UK estimates that taking that full area could be as long as another 4 years. Putin also is demanding Russian be an official language in Ukraine and something regarding Russian Orthodox churches. Did the U.S. accept all of what Putin laid out at that table?
Okay, I'm going to give you his answer in a second, but come on. This is not a serious question. Putin wants everybody to wear gray flannel on Thursdays. I mean, it's just like, yes, this is what you do in negotiating. You throw up a bunch of ridiculous things, a bunch of the extras, and as Trump is very well aware from the art of the deal, you know, you always ask for way more than you think you're even remotely possible could get. And, you know, the challenge of anybody negotiating against people who do this is to figure out, well, what things do they really want? What are they serious about? And, you know, because if you ask for 50 things and you say, well, you cannot have these 47, but you only wanted three to begin with, really, then, you know, you're a dummy on the other side if you negotiate and think you've won by giving them the three that was all they really cared about in the first place. So anyway, so, you know, let me give you her question one more time, the end part of it.
The U.S. accept all of what Putin laid out at that table?
The United States is not in a position to accept anything or reject anything because ultimately it's up to the Ukrainians. They're the ones that Russia has to make peace with.
Well, the president said he did come to some agreement.
It's up to the Ukrainians to make these conditions.
That is such the right answer. It's not for us. I mean, it is for us because we care. Okay, we care as the world's leader, both militarily and economically. We care because we care about the international order. We care because we don't want to be drawn into a conflict. We care because, you know, somebody needs to teach bullies a lesson and, you know, dictators a lesson. And, duly elected presidents who win by 97% majorities. Give me a break. You know, we care, but it's not like our war per se. And so he's right to point out that the real people that matter are Ukraine and Russia. Like, it's not really for us to say one way or the other what's acceptable, except we do have opinions, you know, what we would prefer. I mean, I think what the United States perspective on this is what everybody outside of Russia's perspective. It'd be nice, ideally, if he gave up all of the east of Ukraine and Crimea, you know, if he gave up things that were, you know, from 2014. I mean, that would be great. It's not going to happen, but I mean, that would be amazing.
If Vladimir Putin is going to be offered land that he has not seized yet, but negotiates his way into, doesn't this set a dangerous precedent that the United States now accepts this concept that it is okay to seize land by force?
I watched Margaret Brennan for years, and I don't know whether she's not a serious person or whether her producers are not serious people or whether they really think this is the line to, you know, of questioning to get the most information out of people, but I mean, this is a preposterous question. So, hypothetically, if you were to give in to all of the outrageous demands being made by Vladimir Putin, don't you agree that that would be a dangerous precedent to set for the future? Yeah, dummy. I mean, don't you realize, sir, that if we let him take control of territory that he doesn't even really control yet in a war? Oh my God, so bad. Yeah, but I don't think anybody's serious about that as a prospect. I mean, Ukraine wants everything back. They want Crimea back, I'm sure. And they're not going to get it, but that's what they want. And I want it for them. They're not going to get it, but that's what they want. So this notion that somehow they're going to grant him even more territory than he already actually controls, it's just such a... But don't you realize how bad that would be, sir?
Well, Putin's already seized land by force, and that in and of itself is not a positive precedent. This whole war
is... Are you
is
demanding
a
withdrawal?
Right. You know there's already a problem because he's already taken territory, and he's definitely not going to have to give all of it back, you don't imagine, right, in a realistic scenario.
Precedent. This whole war
is... Are you
is
demanding
a
withdrawal?
Precedent. Well, again, here's the... In order to have a deal here to reach the end of this conflict, both sides are going to have to make concessions. That's
but
just a fact.
Does that mean
in any negotiation,
if Russian forces...
But this is not about acceptance. This is about what Ukraine can accept and what Russia can accept. They both have to accept it. Otherwise, there won't be a peace deal. Okay? If there aren't concessions, if one side gets everything they want, that's called surrender. That's called the end of the war through surrender. And that's not what we're close to doing because neither side here is on the verge of surrender or anything close to it.
And that's the right answer is, I mean, do you really think that it's going to end up with Putin withdrawing all of his troops from everything that has in the last 50 years belonged to, well, not 50, but, you know, in the last, let's say the last 20 years, okay? Anything in the last 20 years that's belonged to Ukraine, he's going to withdraw from all of that. I mean, do you think that's going to happen? Come on, Margaret. This is not a serious question. Everybody on both sides is going to have to give stuff up. Nobody's going to be really happy because Ukraine's not willing to surrender and Russia's not willing to surrender.
So in order for there to be a peace deal, this is just a fact. We may not like it. It may not be pleasant. It may be distasteful. But in order for there to be an end of the war, there are things Russia wants that it cannot get, and there are things Ukraine wants that it's not going to get. Both sides are going to have to give up something in order to get to the table, in order to make this happen. That's just the way it is.
And that is a very realistic assessment of the situation. It's unfortunate. It's horrible. It's wicked. It's, you know, the person at 412 Baker Street broke into the house of the person in 416 Baker Street and in the middle of the night is stealing the goods. He's already made two trips back to his house and he's come back for a third time and he got caught and there was some fighting. And now what? Well, I mean, ideally we'd like to return everything to the other house. We'd like to throw the guy in jail. But, you know, the international order doesn't work that way. We don't have enough capacity to do that. Of course, we would love, it would be ideal to return all of Ukraine to Ukraine. It would be ideal to throw Putin in jail or worse. I mean, that would be the ideal. That's not going to happen. The aggressor had enough power to do something that we're not willing to make unhappen entirely. Which, by the way, this is the reason why, for example, we've been watching this so closely with an eye towards Taiwan and China. Because, you know, China is watching what happens with Putin and seeing, you know, well, how much do we have to take in order to keep Taiwan in the end, right? That's what they're thinking. And the sad worry is that, well, if they act quickly enough and if we don't get our shipbuilding in place and if we don't properly defend Taiwan and scare off the Chinese, they're going to do basically what Russia did, which is, you know, take Taiwan and more, and then we're going to push them back, and then eventually they're going to wind up acquiring Taiwan in the process. That's, I mean, this is long game stuff, right? And by the way, long game is not that long. 2, 3, 5 years from now at most, where this is going to become a real pressing question, but we're watching what happens in Ukraine just to see. So, of course, Zelensky is going to come to the White House today, and oh, she asked this ridiculous question about, well, is he bringing these other leaders for moral support so that he doesn't get bullied by Trump? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Be smarter. Please, be smarter. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery. So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I see you are practiced in worshiping things that fly. Good. Rise before Zod. Now, kneel before Zod.
Oh, man. Terrence Stamp passed away. Zod in Superman 2. And, you know, it was funny because I always forget that that was his role. I mean, that's an iconic role. But I always forget that that's him because I think of him as the, you know, the white-haired menacing guy from The Limey. I think that's or from, you know, Night in Soho. Or he's, I was actually looking through his IMDb file, all of the things that he's been in yesterday. And I was trying to think of what's that movie, what's the key, because anybody that you really know as an actor, it's usually like there's kind of that one role where they first became, you first really came to know them as an actor, and that you associate that with them. And I think it's Sir Larry Wildman in Wall Street is where I trace him to for me. But gosh, you know, how many movies has he been in? And of course, you know, many movies since then. But you know, and I mean Zod well before, well, somewhat before Wall Street anyway. So yeah, he passed away. And again, what I always think is people impacted our lives because they made an impression. We remember, I mean, you're terrified of him because you think, gosh, he's a terrifying person. Probably not because of his role as Stick in Elektra. But you know, everybody's got their movies where you think, well, you know, there's also other movies. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be joined by other European leaders today at the White House to meet with President Trump, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer are all confirmed to be there today to go over America's new approach to ending the Ukraine-Russia war.
Any truth to the rumor that the conceptual MMA fight at the White House might actually be Volodymyr versus Vladimir, the VVV, you know, that would be, that's what they should call it, by the way, the triple V, VVV. Well, but that's not true though, right?
Well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
You never know.
Oh, yeah.
If it does happen, hopefully it'll be on Paramount with that new streaming deal they got with UFC, because I don't want to pay the pay-per-view cost. Hey,
this can be how we settle all international disputes. Andrew, don't you know there's tens of thousands of people have died? Yeah, 20,000 troops from Russia died in the last month. I'm aware. It's a serious topic. Sorry. Go ahead, David.
Well, there's more National Guard troops on their way to Washington, D.C. Republican-led states are sending troops to support federal efforts at the Capitol. Governors of Ohio and South Carolina sending a combined 350 soldiers, and West Virginia deployed a few hundred as well. And former Attorney General William Barr will be testifying today in a closed-door House hearing as part of the ongoing probe into the Jeffrey Epstein case. The committee, chaired by James Comer, is also seeking testimony from former President Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and other top officials.
Thanks so much, David. I appreciate it. 527 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, you can always text me, 437-1620. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Got a text in from a New York area code, which could be here. I mean, I have a, you know, Arizona area code on my cell phone. First time this person has texted. I don't know their name. Just says, is Margaret Brennan asking stupid questions, which is my theory because I've watched Margaret Brennan for years, or is she giving Rubio a chance to address many of the narratives floating around in mainstream media and social media? No, that, I love this question because it's a thoughtful question because I know one of the things I like to do when I have people on is I ask them, you know, hey, this is what's being said, or this is what, you know, some Facebook group is saying, especially for like DC Reeves or whatever, or, you know, Chip Simmons, you know, this is what people are thinking, you know, how do you respond? But I will always ask it that way. That's one difference. I will always ask it, hey, this is what dumb people are saying. Would you like to respond? And the difference is that she's asking it in her own voice. She's asking it with sincerity, you know, Mama Margaret is asking. And she's a mom, I think, two kids. Anyway, so she really believes it, and so that's the problem. But also, you know, I've watched her for years, and you know, this is just her. 528. I mean, if somebody was routinely brilliant and understood everything and asked smart, and she's not the worst that's ever been in the job of a Sunday morning show host. I'm just, you know, I mean, there's always Kristen Welker. I have my preferences. Anyway, but no, this is just she really thinks this, or the producers think this, I suppose. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, I was on vacation last week. And by the way, thank you to Bobby and Craig and Walker for filling in. PJ, by the way, great to have you on the show again today while John is out dealing with some family stuff Thursday, Friday, today, and tomorrow. So I have lots of unfamiliar voices, you know, on the show, but I'm back. And thank you so much for listening while I was gone and for supporting the people who were here while I was not here. This story it was right as I was going on vacation, just maybe the week after, because you had the first day of school was a week ago. And these kids, like at Sims Elementary, all of a sudden, like, they can't get food on the first or couple of days into school because they have balances. And, man, local folks found out about this and stepped up and paid off the debt. And it's really small numbers. What did the PNJ report that across all the kids at this one school that the owner of the butcher shop paid off? It was like $800. You know, it was like $4 a kid. It was some really ridiculous amount of, you know, very small amount of debt. And frankly, this is a great story. You say, well, it's not a great story for the schools. Yeah, but schools have to have rules and policies. I get that. I get that kids shouldn't go hungry. But I also love the opportunity for local businessmen, not just him, but others across the area, to pay off these debts and do something charitable and wonderful.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A huge meeting at the White House later today to end the war between Russia and Ukraine.
The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is under enormous pressure, and he is not coming alone. He'll be joined by seven other European leaders, hoping to make a unified stance in trying to hammer out a peace deal on the best terms possible for Ukraine.
Fox's Doug Luzzetta reporting. EU leaders arrive at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue at noon Eastern Time. Officials only confirming three cops shot in Trayvon, Utah. That's north of Salt Lake City. This from police scanner audio.
Two officers down in the intersection, not moving. I'm hit. I don't know. It's in the head or my shoulder.
Courtesy of Broadcastify, police say one person is in custody. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.376 right now. Partly cloudy. We'll get to our weather forecast here in just a few minutes. A teenager was hit by a stray bullet at a local apartment complex on Sunday. That happened at Oakwood Terrace. The 17-year-old was walking around Massachusetts Avenue and Market Street when they heard an argument between two people that was happening outside of that complex. Then they heard several gunshots. The victim said they ran away and made it to a nearby gas station before they realized they'd been shot. The victim's mother drove the teen to the hospital where they were treated for a wound to the hand. The teen's expected to be okay. An investigation is ongoing in that incident. A pickup truck was hit by a train yesterday. Now, luckily, the driver was not seriously hurt. That happened at the crossing on East 9 Mile Road, east of Highway 29 in North Palafox. There were no passengers in the truck. The train's engine did sustain some damage, but there were no injuries on board. The crash is still under investigation. The Republican Party changing plans after Home Depot objected to their recent line of merchandise. The state GOP was selling items labeled Deport Depot. Of course, that's the name of the immigration detention center planned for Baker County. The design on the merchandise, though, was similar to Home Depot's logo. The company took notice 2 days later. The Republican Party removed the baseball caps, T-shirts, and mugs that they'd been trying to sell. A Home Depot spokeswoman tells the Washington Post they did not approve their use of their branding or their logo. Former NFL player T.J. Yeldon was arrested in Baldwin County over the weekend. Deputies responded to a home on the 28,000 block of State Highway 181, where Yeldon and a female were in the midst of a heated altercation. Deputies say when they knocked on the door, yelled and turned off the lights and refused entry into the home. The woman involved was on the phone with 911 dispatchers and had locked herself in a bedroom. When deputies attempted to force entry into the home, they say Yeldon unlocked the door and was then taken into custody without further incident. He now faces charges including third-degree domestic violence, criminal mischief, and interference with a domestic violence emergency call. He was taken to the Baldwin County Jail and later released on bond. It is 76 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Seeing 79 in Gulf Breeze and 77 reported in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Steel has pinned blame for the deadly explosion last week at the Clairton Coke Works factory on a valve failure that led to coke oven glass igniting. The statement from U.S. Steel marks the first time company officials have offered a theory as to why the explosion occurred. U.S. Steel emphasized the investigation is in its early stages. Meanwhile, the plant is operating in a limited capacity. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has reportedly said that he believes AI could be in a bubble, comparing market conditions to those of the dot-com boom in the 1990s. Alibaba co-founder Joe Tsai, Bridgewater Associates Ray Dalio, and Apollo Global Management Chief Economist Torsten Slok have all raised similar warnings. Google has agreed to pay a roughly $36 million fine for signing anti-competitive deals with Australia's two largest telcos that ban the installation of competing search engines on some smartphones. The court will decide whether the $36 million penalty is appropriate. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused, visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
The city hasn't raised the millage since 1994, fiscal year 1994, and today's rate of 4.2895 mills remains well below the fiscal 94 rate of 5.057. and below the statewide municipal average of 4.8286. So we're more than half a mil lower than the average in the state of Florida, as reported by the Florida Department of Revenue.
You know, so last week, of course, Mayor D.C. Reeves responding to the DOGE letter from Florida DOGE coming to Pensacola today and tomorrow. They're going to be, I guess, cracking open the books. They're putting them in a separate room and giving them access to all the digital things that they need, organized by questions, some 60 questions or, you know, concern areas. Mayor Reeves, you know, put out a letter that was kind of in response that summarized that. And, you know, one of the observations was that the tax revenue or tax burden, the letter called it a burden, but of course, you know, more neutral term would be revenue, but still, I mean, it's fair. Somebody has to pay it. It's a burden. Has gone up $11 million over the last 6 years, an increase of 70%. Even though the population has remained relatively static, how do you explain that? Well, I mean, you know, my explanation would be property values have gone up and there are limits on how quickly your taxable amount of your homestead can go up. It's 3% a year on a rental property, 10% or business property, 10% a year. And so that's one reason. Also, you have more, if you haven't noticed, there's been more stuff built. Have anybody noticed any building in the area over the last 6 years? Yeah, massive amounts, right? So there's been a lot of construction in the area, and that's why he points out that, you know, building certificates are another part of this as well, that, you know, the certificates for occupancy are what, you know, shorthand COs, those have been increased. It's not commanding officers, it's certificates of occupancy.
Those 178 certificates of occupancy for commercial buildings, and in those last 5 years, also 1,282 certificates of occupancy for residential units as well. So we have built 1,300 new homes here in the city of Pensacola over the last 5 years. And if you actually measured it to permits, which would include improvements, renovations, large-scale renovations, there's been 3,600 permits issued for commercial and residential improvements in the last 5 years as well.
I mean, 1,300 homes may not seem like an awful lot, but if you think about 50,000 people-ish live in the city, I don't know the number. I'm making it up on quick math, but my guess would be somewhere in the 20 to 30,000 homes vicinity. That'd be, I'm really just, you know, making a wild guess, but I'd probably guess on the lower end of that, maybe 20,000. You figure two and a half people a home average. That would include everything from apartments to, you know, standalone homes, single family dwellings, as they call them. But okay, we've increased by 1,300, and again, this is made up math because I don't know the base number, but let's say it's 20,000 homes and we've added 1,300. That's 6.5-7%. That's a lot. And, of course, we've very deliberately been trying to, you know, build more homes. And, you know, of course, everybody's doing it in a different way, mostly private, but some, you know, some government action on this as well. So, I mean, that's actually a very sizable number to have increased. And so you're talking about an increase in the budget that would go along with that, plus businesses, plus improvements. And, I mean, you know, you start to get to a fairly reasonable explanation for why it would go up as it's gone, because there hasn't been an actual raise in the millage. Now, do keep in mind that... And that was his first point, that, you know, we haven't raised it or the city hasn't raised it since 1994. It's below the Florida average. Okay, it's 4.2895, well below the 94 rate of 5.05. So it's, you know, 0.8. Okay, and again, a mil is $1 per $1,000 of assessed value. Okay, it's a tenth of a percent if you want to think of it that way. And I know math is not the greatest thing to do on the radio, but I can't help. I always want to explain these things. The teacher in me can't shut up. But, you know, the average across the state of Florida is 4.82, and we're at 4.28. So, you know, that's pretty good comparatively. But they want to look and see, you know, what can be done a little bit better. And by the way, the mayor points out, look, property taxes are low in Pensacola. And one of the problems of property taxes being low is that every year there's not enough property tax even to pay for the most basic service that you expect from a municipality, which is police and fire. The, you know, two gems of municipal living are controlling your own police and fire and having improved public safety, right?
Also, it was pointed out, you know, the $11 million difference in the last 5 years. You know, I think one thing that's important is, where do we spend most of our money in our general fund, regardless of property tax? It's on public safety. It's on police and fire. You guys have heard me mention that before. So if you take out CRA dollars and you talk about the property tax revenues for the city of Pensacola that hit the general fund.
And what he means there is, remember, Community Redevelopment Agency, or CRA, is blighted areas. And the rule on those is once you have a CRA designated, the increased property value that is then a tax on those property owners must be put back into developing the kind of economic vitality of that area. So you can't count those because they were never available to be used for police and fire in the first place, is just what he's getting at for clarification.
The largest line item expense is payroll for police and fire. And if you include the full freight of that property tax, there's a $20 million gap between what we generate in property tax revenue into our general fund and the total cost to run police and fire. So meaning if it stayed as is, we are coming up with $22 million a year in excess of our property tax to just foot the bill for all of our amazing police and fire and our heroes out there keeping the city safe every day.
And that doesn't count, you know, roads, for example, maintaining roads and all the other things and parks that the city does. That's just police and fire. And we're $22 million has to be generated from something other than property taxes. And the city has all kinds of other sources of revenue. But this is not only a reminder that property taxes are low compared to even just the basic cost of public safety, but when we're in an environment where the clear expressed desire of the governor and many others is to either dramatically alter or entirely eliminate property tax, especially on homesteads, well, you're already $22 million short per year, and that would not improve that number. That would make that number enormous. And so how are you going to solve that? You know, I think this is right of him to remind everybody that there's a big cost associated with producing, you know, fire and police protection. And again, in an environment where we're probably going to be looking at some kind of dramatic changes to property taxes, we need to keep in mind that that's already a deficit number, not deficit like overall. They have to have a balanced budget. But, you know, the property taxes do not generate enough revenue even to pay for PPD and PFD. That's the key. He was also asked about whether he thinks that this is political or targeted around DEI or woke or any of the other things, you know, that he thinks that, you know, with being brought to Pensacola to teach us a lesson because DeSantis or the administration believes that somehow Pensacola is a, you know, some safe harbor for left views. Do keep in mind that the city is left of center compared to the county. You know, it's a red county with a blue city, which is normal. You know, cities tend to be more blue. It's not nearly as blue as a lot of cities you'd see in the state of Florida, but, you know, the politics of Pensacola is much more liberal than the county in general.
I believe in fiscal responsibility, and if anybody wants to examine fiscal responsibility, I think it's premature and it's completely speculative for anyone to think, and this is on good information, that for anyone to think that that the city of Pensacola was some specific target for some reason or that it was politically motivated. That is not the indication that I've received.
I thought this was a good answer because he's not saying it can't be true. He's just saying I don't have any evidence that that's the case and it's premature to think that, and nothing that I have been told, you know, fits with that. But and his takeaway on all this is, okay, you want to examine our money? Please. We'll always take outside review of what we're doing.
My expectation is to be collaborative with the team coming in and to help them with whatever information that they'd like to have about the city. My expectation for our team is that the net result is not only that there isn't any significant issues, but as a matter of fact, I fully expect that an audit team would leave here maybe using the city of Pensacola as an example of how government should be run.
Not only please come, but, you know, we expect to sort of win and you to come away thinking, man, I wish other people would do as well as you're doing, right?
I can't speculate on what's going to be found or what the concerns are. I mean, I'd be speaking for people that I haven't spoken to, nor do I have their priority list. But we welcome them on site Monday and Tuesday. Happy to have any conversation that they want to have. We'll have our teams ready. We're getting computers ready. We've got, as I said, no concern here. We approach it in the spirit of collaboration, and we'll see how everything goes.
Yeah, so good. And, you know, apparently, according to reporting that was done by, who is this, PNJ? I think Jim Little, yeah, that some of the things on the list include concerns that diversity, equity, and inclusion were involved in 16 of the different 60-ish requests. The list of positions who had responsibility to, quote, advance diversity, equity, and inclusion or so-called anti-racism. List of employees who had that responsibility and are still employed by the city. Also, the stated goal of developing equity within all City of Pensacola job classifications and increasing diversity, inclusiveness, and livability within the CRA neighborhoods are the CRA's new strategies for equity and inclusion. So I think this is a combo endeavor. This is partially to look at just the money and make sure the money is being used properly. And by properly, I think they want to really – I think there could be a secondary objective here, which is if the governor is really serious, and I think he is, about dramatically changing the way property taxes work, they probably ought to understand the impact that's going to have on municipalities and on counties. And so let's look and see how it's being done so that we really have the data to know what is going to need to change or what's going to have to come in to supplement if we do make homestead property taxes go away. But also they're going to be looking at, you know, are you too woke? Are you doing the things that we have said you should not, cannot, we don't support doing in the universities or other places, and we want to make sure that we don't have any of that stuff going on. So again, I think this is going to be a good review. We'll, of course, find out probably on Wednesday when we talk to the mayor what happened today and tomorrow. But that's happening today. So you have a meeting at the White House, and then you have a meeting at the Brown House? I don't know what you call City Hall. It's it's not a great example of architecture that you promote to everybody to love. It's yeah, it's there. I mean, you know, nobody's like, oh, look at that beautiful building. But, you know, anyway, they're going to be doing that today and tomorrow. 549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you need a roof, and look, nobody wants to admit it. You never are eager to go find, you know, how are you going to buy a roof. But look, you know, for hurricanes, it's essential. You understand that in general, having a roof that is going to hold up and be good, I mean, obviously, for insurance purposes, you need to have it, but just for your own peace of mind. And, you know, when a roof gets old, nobody's eager to replace it, but at a certain point, you need to. So call Quality Roofing Solutions and have them come look, you know. And, you know, I've talked to Brian. He's the founder. They founded this company in 2006. And I asked him the question. I said, of the people who call on you to go, you know, look at their roof, how many of them do you say you don't need to replace it? And he said, well, frankly, it's a pretty low number. It's somewhere in the 5% vicinity. And, you know, my first thought on that is, well, gosh, that seems like an awful lot of replacements. But he said, it's not that they have to get a replacement now. It's that if they're in the position of considering it, it's because they really need to do it in the next couple of years. And if you put it off, it's as likely as anything to cost significantly more. You might as well get the benefit of it a little bit sooner. And you might as well, I mean, financially, it just makes more sense a lot of times to go ahead. And, you know, if it's in the position of needing a repair, he says, by the time you get done doing a repair, the cost of the repair versus the cost of a new, it's, you might as well get the new. So that's the reason he promotes that, because he's always trying to save folks money. They've got, listen, on Google, they've got a 4.9 rating, which is, nobody has a 4.9. You know, I'm sure my Google rating, if I had one, would not be a 4.9. I mean, that's an amazing rating because of all the stuff they do and because they treat people well and answer their phone calls and call you back and walk you through the project and help you understand and then take massive amounts of photos that are always available to you later. And they even stand by their homes with a lifetime, or their roofs with a lifetime warranty, which is, I mean, just completely unheard of. 777-0961 or look them up online, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE-certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You are invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and watch the sunset and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's bluegrass house band, String Farm, taking the stage. Come out and hear the best songs in bluegrass this Tuesday night at 7 with String Farm at Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce. some beautiful flowers, and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Look, mister, there's three rules you've got to follow.
Yeah, what kind of rules?
Keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him.
So I wouldn't exactly call myself a Demi Lovato fan, but I like that song. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. All right, this is gonna age me, but I always believe in transparency. If you asked me to name a Demi Lovato song, no, cannot do that. I may recognize some, but you know, for some people, she's like their favorite artist, and that's fine. I mean, that's fine. There's a lot of music for everybody. A lot of books you've read, I haven't read. A lot of books I've read, you haven't read. And that's what makes us an interesting place, right? 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Justice Department backing off plans to take over the D.C. police force. They've rescinded an order that named DEA Chief Terry Cole as the emergency police chief there. Instead, D.C. Metro Police Chief Pamela Smith remains in charge under their mayor, Muriel Bowser. The DOJ has directed Bowser to have police assist with immigration enforcement and comply with federal database checks.
Wait, so they've unfederalized the troops now, or they've just unfederalized the leadership of the organization?
Right,
I thought they had federalized the troops. I thought they'd federalized all the cops.
Well, I think they're just not taking charge of it, you know, bureaucratically, probably. They're still making them all work together.
Yeah, this seems like nonsense to me.
Yeah, I don't really.
This doesn't make any.
I don't
and
really know.
Meanwhile, we've got National Guard troops there. You know, D.C.'s National Guard are there. And
right?
And National Guard are coming from, what, Ohio, West Virginia? I forget. There were three states. That were,
South Carolina.
Was that who it was? Okay.
Yeah.
And sort of the ongoing question is, but will they be armed? Because, you know, a lot of times when, you know.
Might
when,
need to be.
Well, when the troops show up, okay,
right.
When the National Guard folks show up, they might be carrying weapons that is not the same as carrying weapons that have ammunition in them.
That's true.
There's a lot of show, you know, in these endeavors. And so anyway, go ahead, David.
The State Department halting visitor visas for people from Gaza on Saturday. The department said it was conducting a full and thorough review of the visa process, specifically for people seeking temporary medical visas. The State Department allowed a small number of Gazans to travel to the U.S. for medical attention since the Israel-Hamas war began.
Yeah, I know Rubio talked about this yesterday. It was the last question that Margaret Brennan asked him in a 15-minute interview, and basically said, look, we can't guarantee that the organizations that are vetting these people aren't connected to Hamas, and so we can't approve continuing to allow them to come in the country. And she's like, well, what about the kids? He's like, well, what about the adults? You know, so anyway, go ahead.
And there's been a change in medical guidelines. The American Heart Association and American College of Cardiology are out with some new guidelines.
Can I guess?
Absolutely.
They want you to eat more butter and steak and exercise less.
How'd you know?
Oh, excellent. Tell me more.
They've recommended now limiting alcohol to reduce blood pressure risks. They advise no drinking at all. That's no fun. But they set limits at no more than 2 drinks per day for men and 1 for women. It's the first update to national hypertension risk guidelines since 2017.
Yeah, under the limit. Excellent. Fantastic. I mean, I know I'm not hyper-achieving their no alcohol whatsoever, but yeah, it's... okay. All right. Let's be honest. The way most Americans at this point hear health news is something of the following. Does it tell me to do what I already want to do? It does. Excellent. Great news. See, science backs me. If it tells me not to do what I'm already doing, they'll reverse themselves in 5 years anyway.
Kind of
so
comes
deal.
Out sounding like the adult from Charlie Brown.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. David, thanks so much for the update. I will say it again. I have said it before, but I will say it again. I only half in jest, okay, half in joking, believe that at some point in the not too distant future, what we're going to find out is that cholesterol is the key to long life and Bran will be the silent killer. Because, you know, and like the reason for long life in the Western world is going to be gluten, you know, and learning how to get people over their gluten allergies so they can consume enough gluten to live a long time. Like that's because, and look, science is supposed to reverse itself a lot, but health news is so unstable. My goodness, you know, no, you should definitely not be breastfeeding your infants in the 70s. Oh my God, there's only one way to raise a child properly is to breastfeed them in the 2000s. I mean, which does make more sense, but the point is it just seems there are very few things that have held steady, even big stuff, right? You thought, oh, climate change, you know, carbon dioxide is making. Do you remember when we had climate cooling? When the worry in the 70s was we were going to destroy the planet through climate cooling? You remember that? And, you know, we're going to overpopulate the world. You know, you get Paul Ehrlich writes to the population bomb and people rediscover the, you know, Malthus as monk from the Middle Ages. You know, oh, we're going to just. And now the worry is what? We're not making enough babies, which is really the problem. We're not making enough babies. So, yeah, you know, give it 10 years and. Like I said, steak and butter will be long life.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.